That scripture that Mr. Pink used in the article that our brother John read, where he referred to Jesus Christ being the only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's in 1 Timothy 6:15. That word potentate is taken from the Greek word dunestes. It's where we get our English word dynamite. Jesus Christ is the blessed and only power. All power in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus Christ, God's darling Son. He is the power of God. And it took His sovereign power, and we read this in many places in the scripture, John 17 being one, it took His sovereign power to deliver us from the power of darkness, the power of Satan, the power of sin, and to translate us into His eternal kingdom. Our Lord Jesus has authority over all flesh, power over all flesh, to give eternal life to as many as God the Father gave Him. Those are His words in His high priestly prayer in John 17. He not only has the authority, the power, He exercises the right to give eternal life to those He laid down His life for, because He by Himself purged our sins. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, took our sins in His own body on the tree and removed them from God's sight forever. He's our Savior. And it's high time we stood up and confessed that He's our Savior in the midst of a crooked religious generation who think it's wrong to give Him all the glory. So they come up with doctrines that point to what men do instead of what Christ has done, absolutely making the cross of Christ of none effect, meaningless. We don't do that here. We worship Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, giving Him all the glory for His unspeakable gift, eternal life, through His perfect redeeming work for a particular people. Turn to Isaiah chapter 9, if you will, please. Isaiah chapter 9. Before His appointed time of departure from this life, one of God's ordained preachers said, "If it's new, it's not true. If it's true, it's not new." Think about that for a moment. What I'm about to preach to you this morning is not new. The gospel that God the Holy Spirit uses to bring His chosen blood-bought children to Jesus Christ was ordained by God Himself before a star ever twinkled in the sky, before time began. And it was preached by Jesus Christ to Adam and Eve right after Adam ate the forbidden fruit and plunged the whole human race into condemnation. After he sinned against God, Adam ran and hid himself from God. He never did that before. And it was Jesus Christ, our Lord, who not only sought him out, he knew where Adam was. He couldn't hide from God. He not only sought Adam out, he called him in a personal way. He called him by mentioning his name, Adam, Adam. He called him with a personal, inward, efficacious call that got the job done. And then after he convicted Adam of his sin against the true and living God, Jesus Christ provided a sacrifice for his sin, clothing Adam and Eve with animal skins, which clearly points to the death of an animal and blood being shed, and covered their nakedness, which points us to Jesus Christ, who calls each one of his sheep by name, and he tells us this in the 10th chapter of John, calls us by name, bringing us into a living union with himself, clothing us with his perfect robe of righteousness that he obtained for us, established for us by his walk upon this earth, doing God's will perfectly, letting us know that the supreme sacrifice of himself was enough to get the job done. Is that right?
Amen.
He didn't try to save us.
No.
He obtained eternal redemption for all those he suffered and bled and died for.
Praise the Lord.
Now, we've been going through a series of messages that point us to Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what God's preachers are supposed to do. We heard this in the devotional this morning by John Reeves. We heard it in the Sunday school lesson by Michael Smith. And if I'm God's preacher, I'm going to point you to Jesus Christ. Years ago, there's some special meetings held at a church in Southern California. And I wanted to go to those meetings because it was said by many that there was a movement in the Southern Baptist, amongst the Southern Baptist people, a movement that was getting those who listened to the preachers in that movement, encouraging their people to get back to the doctrine established by the Southern Baptist people, the Calvinistic doctrine, the doctrine of God's eternal election, his redeeming grace, his sanctifying grace, and I wanted to hear what that preacher had to say. Well, we had a couple in our congregation by the name of Jim and Betty Thomas. Both are in glory now. And they met me at that church. They had a fifth wheel and a trailer and had been traveling around, and they met me at the church, and of course we sat together in a pew, and Betty nudged me. She said, "I'm going to put him to your test." I said, "To my test?" She said, "Yes, you've told us often that we can tell if a man is God's preacher sent by God, he'll be preaching Jesus Christ." After the services, I asked Betty, "Did he pass the test?" She said, "No, he did not. He didn't preach Jesus Christ." What a wasted time for all of us who were there. My desire is to point you to the true and living God who loved us and gave himself for us. And here in Isaiah chapter 9, and verse 6, we read, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." Now, we've considered these wonderful titles that point to the coming Messiah. These were future in the days of Isaiah, pointing to the names of the God-man, and we've looked at several of them down through the Mighty God. This morning I've titled this message, "His name shall be called the Everlasting Father." The Everlasting Father. I'm just overwhelmed with this wonderful truth that Jesus Christ is equal. I'm talking about that little baby that was born of a virgin, that man that walked on this earth who was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, that man that unbelieving Jews spit on. They blindfolded him, slapped him in the face, said, "If you're the Son of God, prophesy. Who smote thee?" Hating him without a cause, nailing him to a cruel cross because they would not have him to reign over them. Now, brethren, all of that was ordained by our Heavenly Father, our great majestic triune God, back before time began. Jesus Christ was crucified by wicked hands, yes, we know that. But it was by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. We read that in the book of Acts, the second chapter. And so all of that was ordained by God, and that did not justify the wickedness of those ungodly, self-righteous religionists who hated our Lord Jesus, and God dealt with them. And it does not justify the actions of wicked men and women today who have a form of godliness but deny the sovereign power of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. From those people we are to turn away from. Now let me take you over to Isaiah chapter 43 before we go into the New Testament. Isaiah chapter 43, and let me establish a truth that we must never deny. Jesus Christ is not God the Father. The title of this message is, "Thou shalt call his name the Everlasting Father." But Jesus Christ is not the Father. There are three distinct persons in the Godhead: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But there's only one God. All true followers of Jesus Christ are Trinitarians. There are no exceptions. There are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. God's Apostle John wrote those under divine inspiration in 1 John chapter 5. Our Lord Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." He didn't say, "I and my Father is one." He said, "I and my Father are one," making them plural, the two plural. When he said, "Let us make man in our image," he was talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But those three make up one glorious God. We don't worship Jesus Christ as a lesser God than God the Father. He's equal in essence, in purpose, and in power with God the Father. There's only one God. And here in Isaiah chapter 43, starting at verse 10, we read, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior." Did you catch that? Now, Jesus Christ is my Savior. I don't know if he's your Savior. I hope he is. I hope you understand that. But he's my Savior. He didn't try to save me at Calvary. He redeemed me, purged my sins from God's sight forever by himself. And he's my Lord and my God. And we read in verse 12, where God is telling us, "I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you, Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall hinder it? That's what the word let means. I will work, and who shall let it? I will work, and who shall hinder it? Who can hinder God from doing what he has purposed? Now listen to me. In 2 Timothy 1:9 we read that God has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began.
Yes.
I didn't write this. This is God's word. But I believe every bit of it. Like one sinner saved by the grace of God said, I even believe the cover is genuine cowhide. Yes. This is God's word. And most religious people who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ blatantly deny the truths of the gospel in their foolish attempt to worship God, attributing salvation to something that they have done in order to gain favor with God himself. It's blasphemy. Now please turn to the 5th chapter of John. John chapter 5. Like I mentioned already, our Lord Jesus told some unbelieving Jews, I and my Father are one. And they did not misunderstand what he was saying. They took up stones to stone him. And when he said, which good work do you stone me for? They say, not for any good work, but because thou being a man makest thyself to be God. They didn't misunderstand. They hated him for putting himself on equal plane with God the Father. Now, brethren, if we don't honor Jesus Christ, even as we honor God the Father, we don't honor God the Father who sent his Son to this sin-cursed earth to do his will. Let me show you. Here in John chapter 5, starting at verse 21, we read, John chapter 5 and verse 21, I'm in chapter 6, pardon me. Starting at 21, we read, for as the Father raiseth up the dead. Now before we read any further, these are words from the lips of God himself while he walked on this earth. These are his words. And I delight in the words of Jesus Christ my Lord. He said, for as the Father raiseth up the dead and gives life to them and quickeneth them, even so the Son gives life, quickeneth whom he will. These are God's words. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Now look at verse 23. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. If we don't bow down to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, worship him as a true and living God, we're worshiping a God of our own imagination. We do not honor God the Father who sent his Son to this sin-cursed earth to do his will. And he did his will. Jesus Christ did the Father's will perfectly. I put this scripture on the front of this morning's bulletin, taken from John chapter 14. Our Lord Jesus himself talking to his disciples. The apostle Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. It sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you? And yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Now, folks, I don't understand all of this. I was talking with Brother Russ this morning before Sunday school started. The Trinity is a mystery. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. How can this finite mind understand that which is infinite? We can't. We can't. But by faith we embrace it. I believe what the Word of God says, even though I don't understand it. I don't understand how three can be one. I don't understand how Jesus Christ and the Father, two distinct persons of the Godhead, can be one. I don't understand that. But I believe it. I believe that Jesus Christ is God Almighty. Let me take you over to Hebrews chapter 1. Would you turn there with me, please? Hell deserving sinners cannot worship God unless they bow down to Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? Hell deserving sinners cannot worship God unless they bow down to Jesus Christ, confessing Him as Lord of all. Believing that that Jesus Christ by Himself purged our sins from God's sight forever. All works religionists, please don't miss this. All works religionists are antichrist. They're against Christ. They teach their preachers who claim to be preachers, teach their hearers that God has done all He can. Now the rest is up to you. That's not true, but if it was true, there would be no hope for any of us. Because in our unregenerate state, we're dead in trespasses and sins. I didn't make that up. That's what the Word of God teaches. We're just as dead spiritually as Lazarus was physically when our Lord Jesus stood before his grave and said, Lazarus, come forth. And guess what happened? He came forth.
Amen.
Now he had to have received life from God himself before he could hear those words, Lazarus, come forth. And that's true of every one of us when we come to Jesus Christ by faith. He comes to us first and quickens us. That's what we read over in John chapter 5. Gives us life. That's the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Coming to His chosen blood-bought children under the preaching of the gospel, giving us faith to believe in the one who loved us and gave Himself for us. Faith is not your gift to God. Faith is God's gift to the sinner. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Brethren, The new birth is a miracle of God's grace. That hasn't changed from the day our Lord Jesus spoke those words to Nicodemus. Except a man be born again, he cannot see. And that word see means to perceive, to understand. He cannot understand the kingdom of God. And Brother Michael Smith quoted a scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 this morning that says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. The natural man consider the preaching of the gospel foolishness. But the gospel is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. So we have to be quickened by God the Holy Spirit. We have to have His Spirit dwelling in us before we can understand who Jesus Christ is and what He has done for us. That's God's work. Only God can give life. And He does that to those Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died for. No more, no less. If you have eternal life, don't pat yourself on the back. You give Him the glory.
Amen.
Because eternal life comes from God Himself through the perfect redeeming work of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior.
Amen. Yes.
And here in Hebrews chapter 1, starting at verse 1, we read, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Now Jesus Christ is our sovereign Creator. And He didn't get anybody's permission, and He took no counsel from anybody, and He rebuked Job with these very words, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Jesus Christ just spoke these things into existence just exactly as He had purposed them in His mind. He's our sovereign Creator. And He has spoken to us in these last days. There's no more divine revelation. Did you hear that? There's no more divine revelation than that which is recorded in the Holy Word of God. And if we're true followers of Jesus Christ, we will believe what the Word of God says. Verse 3 tells us that Jesus Christ is the brightness of God's glory. Jesus Christ is the brightness of God's glory. He is the glory of God.
Yes.
And that same God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. If we by faith see Jesus Christ as He is plainly set forth on the pages of Holy Scripture, we'll see that He, Jesus Christ, is God's glory. And we'll bow down to Him in wonderful adoration to our God who has revealed this to us. He has to command the light to shine. We were in darkness, held by the power of darkness, loving that darkness, until He came to us under the preaching of His gospel and said, let the light shine. Cheryl, He commanded the light to shine in your heart. Otherwise, you'd still be in darkness and loving that darkness. And that's true of every one of us. He, Jesus Christ, is the brightness of God's glory. But look at the next phrase. And the express image of His person. I have three sons. And I've been told by many that I can't deny any of them because they look like me. And I'm sorry, but that's just the way that goes. But they're not the express image of me. They just look a little bit like me. They have some of my features. But Jesus Christ is not like God. He's the express image of God. When you've seen Him, you've seen God. I'm not talking about His humanity. I'm talking about His divine person.
Amen.
Every attribute of God. I don't care if it's Him being omnipotent, Him being omniscient, Him being omnipresent, or any of the attributes, His love, His mercy, all of that which belongs to God is in Jesus Christ. And the Word of God teaches that very truth. When we've seen Jesus Christ, we've seen our God through the eye of faith.
Yes.
Get this out of your mind, trying to figure out what He looks like in His humanity. This picture of the so-called Jesus that's hanging on most walls in the houses of professing Christians is nothing but a long-haired hippie. We don't know what He looks like. Well, guarantee you, on the authority of God's Word, He's the express image of God Himself, because He is the true and living God. Look at the next phrase. And upholding all things by the word of His power. Where the word of a king is, there's power. And I'm preaching to you the power of God, which is Jesus Christ Himself. How much power does He have? All power. All power. He said that to His disciples. All power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. If He has all power, will there be a day when He'll have more power? No, He has it all right now. Bow down to Him. Worship Jesus Christ. Or go to eternal torment with your foolish, sinful understanding that pollutes the truth concerning Him. He's my God. And He's my Savior. He upholds all things by the word of His power. And I think about that when I get a warplane every once in a while, with thankful hearts to my Savior who upholds not some things, all things by the word of His power.
Amen.
Now I'm going to drop a bomb in your lap. I'm going to explode you. Look at the next phrase. When He had by Himself purged our sins. When He had by Himself purged our sins. How did He do that? How did He purge our sins? By Himself. When He went to that cross, please. I know to some people this is a foreign language, but this is what the Word of God teaches. When He went to that cross, He bore in His body the sins of all of His people, taking care of the sin debt that was against us forever. By one offering, He sanctified His people. And that word sanctified means He made us holy in God's sight. By that same sacrifice, He perfected His chosen people forever. That's in Hebrews chapter 10, by the way, verses 9 and 10 and verse 14. He didn't try to perfect us. He perfected us. Can we add anything to perfection?
No.
Brethren, grab a hold of this. Nothing can be laid to the charge of God's elect. Nothing can be laid to the charge of God's elect. Why? Because Jesus Christ removed our sins from God's sight forever. He sees no sins in His chosen people, because Jesus Christ by Himself purged our sins. They're gone, gone, gone. As far as the east is from the west. That's good news for a sinner.
Yes, amen.
And this world of ungodly professing Christians have the audacity to say that they had to do something to give God permission to save them. They don't know Christ and they don't know His gospel. He by Himself purged our sins. And when He did, we read in the last part of verse 3 of Hebrews 1, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. There's a glorified God-man in heaven right now. His name is Jesus Christ the Lord. He's there making intercession for all of those that He suffered and bled and died for. When He entered into heaven, after He was raised from the dead, He entered in not without blood, but with His own blood, there to appear in the presence of God for us, those He obtained eternal redemption for, those that He purged their sins from God's sight forever. As our great high priest, He's there pleading our case right now. All judgment has been committed unto the Son. He's the judge. And He's coming again. But He's also every believer's heavenly advocate, our heavenly lawyer, pleading for us. Now, if I want a lawyer pleading for me, I want the one who's the judge, don't you?
Yes, sir.
And if a lawyer is pleading in case of another and he's also the judge, could he ever lose a case? He can't. And he's pleading for his people. Those He laid down His life for. He's there right now. Brethren, Jesus Christ is there right now. And He's the object of all worship and all praise. Look at verse 6 of this first chapter of Hebrews. It reads, this is God's word. It reads, and again, when He, God the Father, bringeth in the first begotten into the world, He said, let all the angels of God worship Him. That little baby, when he was born in the manger, we read about the angels singing and the shepherds in the field seeing them and hearing them sing. You know what they were doing? They were worshiping that baby that was in the manger. They were worshiping Jesus Christ as very God of very God. And if God commands all the angels to worship Him, how about us? Do we worship Jesus Christ? If we don't, we're not worshiping God. Now, I've got so many other places I'd like to take you and show you in the scriptures that we don't have time. Our time has run out for this morning. But I count it all joy that God has given me the honor of bringing before you the truth concerning Jesus Christ, who He is and what He has done for us. Don't let the foolish, ungodly preachers of this world today take your eye off the Christ of God and turn it to yourself. Don't believe what they're saying. They're telling you that you've done something to earn merit with God, favor with God. That's not true. The only way that we can find favor with God is through Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. We read in the last verse of the fourth chapter of Ephesians that God has forgiven us for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. Bow down to Him. Bow down to Him and acknowledge that He is your sovereign Lord, who by Himself purged your sins from God's sight forever. And you'll rejoice as we sing this closing hymn, It Took a Miracle. Brother John, if you will, please.
And once again, Pastor, we thank you for bringing the gospel before us this morning.
Stand with me if you would. Turn to page 524. And let's sing It Took a Miracle. 524. And that you can't deny. A God of might and miracles is written in the sky. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he stars in space. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. The Bible tells us of his power and wisdom always true, and every little bird and flower are testimonies too. It took a miracle to hang the world's blood. It took a miracle to hang the world. When he saved my soul, cleansed me.